the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
This is National Brain Tumour Awareness Week, and we are joined by two people who know all about this. One, Dr. Sarah Curry, consultant neuro-oncologist at Children's Health Ireland, Crumlin. But first, Cliona Leamy, who is mum to Izzy, who is aged 8, but who was diagnosed with a brain tumour at the age of 2. Cliona, thank you very much for joining us.
Welcome and all. Thanks for having me.
How is Izzy now?
She's great. She's absolutely doing really, really well. She's in second class communion, so very excited about the big white dress. And she's doing really well medically and in every other way.
Excellent to hear. Because she's had a tough time, hasn't she?
A rough few years, yeah, especially from the early stages. But at least I can say now she is doing well and, you know, thank God we're out of the trenches.
What age was she when you discovered that she had a brain tumour?
She was 2 when we discovered she had a brain tumour, but she had been sick for about a year and a half on and off before that, before we knew what was wrong, pretty much, yeah.
For how long? And it took a year and a half to actually discover what it was that was
pretty
causing
much,
the problems.
Yeah, because it was a hard one to diagnose as well. She got diagnosed with a genetic disorder first called NF1, and that kind of threw people off, I think, of the real reason why she was so sick. But between everything, between paediatricians, she was diagnosed with failure to thrive, and they thought she had a cow's milk allergy, all this kind of thing at first. And then it wasn't until they did an MRI that we discovered it was a brain tumour.
What did that feel like for you?
Oh, I can still remember we were in a nurse's station in Temple Street. The paediatrician brought us in, and I actually knew in my heart of heart that it wasn't going to be good news. And it was really warm. And I just remember that sinking feeling of this, why me, why us? There's no words to describe. It was utter dread in my stomach, all over my body. I couldn't. But that they were the really bad days, I think, trying to find a diagnosis and then getting diagnosed. And then I think once we found out she had a brain tumour, they were going to do chemo. This was the steps of the plan, and it was going to be a year and a half. Everything became easier for me. It was the unknown that was the hardest part. Definitely.
Well, can I bring you in, Dr. Sarah Curry, as a consultant neuro-oncologist? How difficult can it be to actually diagnose a child as having a brain tumour?
Hi, Matt. Thanks very much for having me on today. Well, particularly difficult, and I think Cliona alluded to it really nicely there. I think the first reason why it can be so difficult to diagnose it is really just awareness. Because children's brain tumours and cancers are so rare compared to cancers in adults, a lot of the time healthcare professionals may not even particularly think about them. So that's why weeks like this week are really, really important, just to raise awareness that it is a condition that does happen. And we meet over 60 new children a year in Ireland that have a new diagnosis of a brain tumour. The second reason, and I think the more important one, is that the signs and symptoms that children present with when they have a new brain tumour are really very vague, and they often mimic common childhood illnesses like tummy bugs or viral illnesses. So it can be really, really sneaky and difficult to diagnose, and children really compensate until a really late stage. So even though children might have something really serious going on, often it may not be obvious until a very late stage.
Is that because brain tumours aren't visible literally on the skull?
Exactly. They're deep within inside the skull in the brain most of the time. And the way that they show their signs really depends on the age of the child, the area they're affecting of the brain. And each child is different. They don't all necessarily show the same signs and symptoms.
Of those 60 children you have every year, what sort of age range would you have?
Oh, 0 all the way up to 16. And quite often, even young people between 16 and 19 that attend some of our adult colleagues, we sometimes are involved with their care as well.
Okay, which must be a great shock to them as well as to their parents. But Cliona just mentioned their chemotherapy, mm-hmm. and which I was thinking when I was going to meet you, when you get a child who has a brain tumour, are they treated differently to the way you treat an adult? Because in an adult, you automatically think chemotherapy, radiation, surgery. Is that necessarily always possible with a small child or an infant?
It is. Kids are remarkable. I suppose they're so much more resilient than we might be at our age. And they actually tolerate therapy even better than adults sometimes. What we're always trying to do with children, though, is because they've got such a long life to live, hopefully, after their diagnosis, we're always trying to pick a treatment that gives us the best possible chance of cure, but also we're trying to give them as little as possible because everything we do has a side effect. So you're trying to balance that because you want them to have as little side effects as possible. But yes, we do use all those treatments like surgery, chemotherapy, radiotherapy. And as time goes on, we're using a lot of other targeted agents now as well.
So, Cliona, what was it like for you then when you heard chemotherapy?
At first I was like, oh my God, why is it chemotherapy? I don't know why I thought that, but I did. It was inoperable, her tumour, just where it was. And they, you know, as my oncologist said, you know, 10 years time, they may discover that it can be operable on, but at the moment it wasn't. And then the type of treatment we were given, the type of chemo and how long it was going to be. And hers was really successful. She handled it really well. She tolerated so well for her child. We went in weekly for about 6 hours every Wednesday and she enjoyed the hospital visits, the play therapy. She was well. We have obviously bad days when she was, you know, very sick and at home with me and we deferred her from play skills. So,
yeah, do you have to worry about her picking up other illnesses as well because of reduced immunity?
Yeah, and I had it, my son was in junior infants, so the school were very good with sending out messages if other children were sick, please just be aware that there was a child at home that was immunocompromised. So I was really nervous about that and the house spotless and take your shoes off and sanitise your hands. It was also during COVID that her treatment was happening. We were well into it. We were about a year into it when COVID struck, but the actual fear of
COVID. That must have really sort of exacerbated your concerns and fears,
so.
Did it?
I work in a nursing home as well. So I was so nervous between home, the nursing home, and it was COVID for so long. We managed to avoid it, thank God. But I was completely at my wit's end thinking if I bought this home, she got sicker because of me. And even the hospital, it was so hard on the staff in the hospital in St. John's because it's kind of like a little family there. And everyone, the nurses, doctors, everyone, and COVID kind of nearly put people apart, which was hard. But as I said, I think her age, she handled it so well. She enjoyed her hospital visit. She used to be like, when are we going to the hospital? Because she was spoilt and the play therapists and everything. She loved it.
Well, you mentioned a phrase earlier, which I think is every parent's nightmare, failure to thrive. Mm. Did she start to thrive once she'd come through the treatment?
100%. She had a feeding tube put in when chemo was starting. And that, I was only saying earlier, that took a worry from me because she was only 9 kilos and she was 2 years of age. So she was absolutely tiny. And once the feeding tube went in, and if she didn't want to eat something for me, I was like, that's fine. She's going to get her feed tonight. So that was took pressure off me, made everything more enjoyable. The worry from me then wasn't coming on to her around eating. So she started to enjoy her food. And there was a joke on St. John's where calories are calories. So even if she was eating a jelly snake at 10 o'clock in the morning, it calorie is a calorie. So we were happy with that.
She needed it so much.
She needed anything she would eat, I would get her. And it was a joke that she used to eat jelly snakes, but only pink ones. So I had friends, family going into shops, rooting through packets to see was there more pink jelly snakes in one packet than the other. And you just do what you do to get through.
Yeah, what about the sense of relief for you as she visibly improved and progressed?
You could tell week by week, if someone hadn't seen her for a few weeks, they'd be like, oh my God, her cheeks got fuller. Her little smile came back. So she didn't walk until she was 3. So she started walking in the middle of treatment. And even to see that she'd be walking around the playroom floor with a little walker and then everyone was so excited to see her walk. And as a parent, that's just the happiest moment of your life, seeing her get stronger and get better, really. And it was all thanks to the oncologist.
Has she largely caught up now?
She's still absolutely tiny for her age. She's very small and she still is very picky with her food. But I suppose all children are kind of the same. And I've definitely relaxed. So if she wants to have a jelly snake, she can have a jelly snake.
Dr. Sarah Curry, it's great to hear Cliona's story about Izzy because it has worked out. Unfortunately, not every case works out well, does it?
Unfortunately, no.
Because what is the chances of somebody being able to survive a brain tumour in childhood?
So when we look at all of the children that are diagnosed with a cancer every year, so that's, you know, up to 200 a year in Ireland, the overall survival rate would be 87%. I wish I could say it was the same for children with brain and spinal cord tumours. It's probably closer to 75%. Now, a lot of people might think that that's a very good outcome, but I can say that we really won't be happy until it's 100%. And we're always greedy. We're greedy for not just the patients to survive, but we want them to survive with good quality of life, because we know a lot of children that have brain tumours, because of either the condition or the treatment they receive, you know, 60 to 70% of those children will have a long-term impact from their condition. So we're always greedy for it to be better for them.
Do we have an understanding as to what causes it? Because, you know, we hear about various cancers, the chances exacerbated by alcohol intake or smoking or whatever, and that clearly that doesn't apply to children. So have we any idea as to why it happens?
There's so much we don't know, is the truth. We're starting to know a little bit more. So there's been really an explosion of knowledge in the last few years about a field called cancer genetics. So we know that there are a small number of children and young people out there that have a particular condition that might make the likelihood of developing a brain tumour a little bit more likely, like, for example, neurofibromatosis, NF type 1, or tuberous sclerosis. Or there are other cancer predisposition syndromes that we're starting to learn a little bit more about. But the vast majority of children that have a brain tumour don't have one of these syndromes. We also know that if a child or young person has had radiotherapy for another illness, that makes the chance of having a brain tumour higher. But for most of the children, we really just don't know.
Well, if you want more details, because to mark National Brain Tumour Awareness Week, Brain Tumour Ireland has published a guide on understanding and spotting the signs and symptoms of brain tumours in children and teenagers. There's a webinar, which I think probably underway now, on supporting children with a brain tumour. If you want more details on that, braintumorireland.com is the website to go to. But thank you very much, Cliona Leamy, for coming in and telling us your story and Izzy's story. And I hope she continues to improve and have a great time of it, particularly with her communion coming up. And Dr. Sarah Curry from Children's Health Ireland, Crumlin, consultant neuro-oncologist. Thank you both very much for being with us.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.